What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Got another good one for you today, as I had a nice conversation with Sam Amick of The Athletic. He is the author, reporter of the story that was leaked about the officiating audit. And he's a national NBA reporter for The Athletic, really plugged into the NBA, especially the Western Conference, and especially California teams. Going to talk to him, going to cover the action from last night. All that's coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Another good one for you today, as the Dubs are still up 2-0 on the Houston Rockets. They do have 3 days off. They have Wednesday, Thursday, Friday off. They will play Saturday. That's for sure. That's confirmed. They are playing Saturday. And that definitely benefits them just because it gives Steph and Klay opportunities to rest their ankles. Steph to, I mean, I don't know what you how much you can do to try and, you know, make your dislocated finger better. But bottom line, it gives them time to recoup and get healthier. On the other side, same thing for the Rockets, but it's a lot better to be recouping and getting healthier when you're up 2-0 than when you are down 0-2. I filled in again on the lowdown today with Damian Barling, and we actually had Sam Amick on of The Athletic, who was the author, reporter of the story about the officiating audit from the Rockets. He's also a national reporter for the NBA, one of the best. So we had a nice conversation with him just about everything going on. So I'm going to play that for you right now. It's a good one. It's probably like 15, 20 minutes long. We cover mostly Rockets Warriors, then a little about the Western Conference playoffs just in general. I think you guys are going to like it. So here it is, our conversation with Sam Amick of The Athletic.
Let's bring in Sam Amick of The Athletic. Sammy, great to have you as always. The talk leading into game two was about officiating. Scott Foster was grabbing the headlines. Coming out of game two, we're talking about bloody eyes and crooked fingers. Any injury updates on James Harden and Steph Curry?
Not to my knowledge, gentlemen. Both injuries looked pretty darn painful. And, you know, both guys tried to play through it. But, you know, I don't anticipate Steph being a problem going forward. A dislocation essentially is something that, by and large, you can play through. X-rays were negative. But the eye is, you know, that's a tricky one. It's funny. James, I thought, had some of his best moments late where only he knows how much the eye was bothering him. But he was aggressive. He got to the rim. And, you know, he was able to see enough to put the ball in the hole a couple of times. But it's, you know, it's interesting, even independent of that, and this is something I'm trying to write about later today, is just in general, he just struggles against the Warriors. He's had one good playoff series back in 2015. But for the most part, they have found a way to keep him from being, you know, at the level that he is during the regular season. And that's been the case through two games, too.
Sam, with the officiating audit, I don't know, is that what we're calling it? I don't know the official title, but with when it came out, did the Rockets expect a different response? It seemed everyone kind of rolled their eyes at it. Were they expecting maybe a little more support when they put out this report?
I would probably say, are they irritated by the narrative that all they do is whine? Yes. Do they care all that much? You know, their audience, not to go political on you guys, but how many times have we seen different press conferences in politics the last couple of years where you know that the person on television is speaking to an audience of one?
Yeah.
Meaning the president.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit like the audience of one is Adam Silver. And the Rockets, the one thing people are missing, I think, for the most part, is that the Rockets truly believe that they are, for the most part, in lockstep with Adam Silver when it comes to the philosophy about officiating and how this information should be handled. This was a little bit, I think, kind of their rogue attempt to accelerate the timeline when it pertains specifically to these 48-minute reports that get distributed internally. Like, I mean, I know they've reached the point, they just kind of feel like, get mad at us all you want. This is data, this is information, this is what we do. And we think that the public should know the truth about, you know, which team has been harmed or helped the most in this Warriors-Rockets matchup over the course of history.
I'm still a bit unclear, Sammy, about what the Rockets wanted out of this, at least out of making it public. Was this to say, hey, you know, speaking to Adam Silver, an audience of one, oh, hey, Adam, the officials in the NBA are bad? Or, hey, Adam, the officials are favoring the Warriors? Which one was it? Because one feels like a much more dangerous accusation than the other.
I think it's both. It's not as simple as saying bad. I think that there's a bunch of trends here. I wrote some of this. They believe older officials, and it's a little bit like you equate it to business, where it's the old adage of you can't teach an old dog new tricks. So can you truly, a referee who's been in it 20 years, if you tell him to start calling the landing space closeout tree call differently now than he has for 20 years, can he truly change? Or is he going to be stubborn because he thinks it's wrong and he thinks the game should be called differently? Their data would seem to suggest that the younger officials are more on board with that part of the program. So it's things like that. It's things like with the Warriors, they don't necessarily come at it from the tinfoil hat conspiracy theory standpoint. It's more like, I think their argument would be that Steve Kerr, Draymond Green, Kevin Durant, and even lately Steph Curry, and every once in a while Klay Thompson, that collection of personalities combined with their resume and what comes with like being the champions is intimidating enough to the refs that it impacts their decision-making and that they are manipulated by the champs. And it's not from the standpoint of they all go home at night and they have Warriors pennants on their walls. Like there's some sort of bias here. It's more, people are almost mad at me lately because they feel like I'm justifying the Rockets stuff. I'll just own the fact that I'm endlessly intrigued by the psychological part of this whole thing because they're not the first, industries all over the country and the world have been trying to analyze data to kind of weed out biases a lot for the last however many years now that the internet and technology led to this kind of explosion of data. That's what they're doing. And everybody's mad at them right now. And I know I'm rambling on this, guys, but one thing that I thought was so interesting is Michael Lewis, the famed author, had a podcast recently talking about the refs. And he told a story about how back in 2007, I believe, the New York Times published an unauthorized analysis of NBA officiating. And at the time, like David Stern lost his mind, basically called it fake news, and it was all seen as very, very negative. And then fast forward a few years, and the NBA publicly was admitting that they made internal changes to clean up some of the stuff that report highlighted. And that this is, to a degree, this is another version of that.
What is up, Locked On podcast listeners? It's Charles T. Hamilton, your host. Sliding in, we're going to take a quick break, split this interview up into two parts, come back, finish up the interview with Sam Amick. But first, I just got to tell you that hiring someone is almost impossible, man. There are tons of challenges. It's hard to find qualified candidates. It takes a ton of time. You're going through applications, trying to figure out what's real or what's not. But I can tell you right now that ZipRecruiter makes it easy. If you go to ZipRecruiter.com/lockedon, they will make this 100 times easier. Hiring is tough. There's one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart, a place where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. And I already told you, but that place is ZipRecruiter.com/lockedon. ZipRecruiter sends you over hundreds of the web's leading job boards. That's where they send you to, and they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invite them to apply to your job. You're not looking for them. They're coming to you. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. That's within the first 24 hours, man. I won't even be done going through applications in the first 24 hours. And right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/LockedOn. That is ZipRecruiter.com/LOCKEDON, ZipRecruiter.com/LockedOn. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Going to go right back into this interview with Sam Amick of The Athletic. Sam, do you have any idea how the Rockets players might have felt or responded to the report that came out, the audit? Because it, in my own opinion, it looked like they might have, I don't know, been a little embarrassed that it went that far as we're looking back at, you know, the Western Conference Finals from last year. Maybe they just decided to not complain to refs last night, and that's all it was. But, you know, I got my tinfoil hat on that they might have been embarrassed about this report coming out, the players at least.
Well, at the risk of sounding normally my style, but sleep deprivation can get the best of me here. We must have missed the moment where Chris Paul jumped up and down like a 9-year-old cheering the 3-point call that James Harden got, which I just thought was embarrassing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's Chris. And honestly, no. I mean, maybe some of the role players were embarrassed. James and Chris are all in on this approach. Mm-hmm. And even Mike D'Antoni, honestly, he was kind of, as much as I like Mike, I mean, some people can't believe kind of how much he's leaned into this as part of the Houston program. And I think they're, for the most part, all on board. I was going to say complicit. I mean, the premise there is that there's something inherently wrong with what they're doing. So whatever, you know, whatever side you fall on, I think those guys are on board, and they might say a few things politically. I would probably say that the change in tone yesterday was more about the fact that they probably had, you know, Adam Silver's not the toughest commissioner from a discipline standpoint, but I do get the sense that yesterday was probably one of those rare times when, you know, his footprint was on all of their backsides after the way game one went. Mm-hmm. Because nothing moves the needle more than doing things on the needle as much as they want to. And so business was, I think, impacted in his eyes by the tone of the discussion in game one. And, you know, I think they all got us into and obviously seemed to be all on the same page.
Sam Amick of The Athletic with us here on The Lowdown. No one ever likes talking about officials, and we'll just step out here on this. Chuck and I were discussing the actual game last night and the players on the court, Sam, and I felt this way all year. I'm curious how you feel. I know it's a two-game sample size. Everything is headed to Houston right now, but referees, scratched eyes, crooked fingers, man, it just feels like the Warriors are better than the Rockets. And, you know, last year was a 7-game slugfest. I don't think that's what this year is.
I'm mostly with you, Damian, other than the fact that I just keep getting really surprised that they're so close at the end of the game. You know, they're still right there.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, you know, there's a lot of trends here that are just a pretty large sample size now. I mean, different roster pieces on the Rockets side, but the same core, you know, it's now 4 years out of five. Obviously, Chris Paul's only been part of it for a couple of years now. I do think the Warriors are better. And I also think, I'll be banging this drum in my column as well. Like the whole glossing over by the Rockets of the idea that Andre Iguodala missing the last four games of the conference finals last year was just not a big deal is bearing out right now to be so wrong, because what Iguodala does, and I love it because he's an old head, and so it's always fun to see those guys still doing it. But he gives Steve Kerr and Ron Adams, their defensive specialists on the coaching staff, another body to throw at James. So you're talking about Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Andre Iguodala, maybe, you know, a little bit of Kevon Looney, who's actually done an okay job on James. But Iguodala is a difference maker. And not only that, you know, he clearly got the memo on the offensive end that because of the Rockets switching defense, that they cannot afford to have non-scoring threats on that end. He's been very aggressive, averaging about 15 points a game in this series, which is just massive for him. I mean, that's three times his regular season scoring output, I believe. So those points are huge. His defense is huge. And it's kind of confirming the Warriors' belief that they've had all year long, that if he didn't get hurt a year ago, that the conference finals would have been over in five games.
This is going to come as a massive shock to everybody, but there's actually another series in the Western Conference. Mm-hmm. Game two is tonight, the Blazers and the Nuggets. Sam, we saw Denver and Jokic just really kind of have their way with Portland. Is this maybe the part of the season where the absence of Nurkic is just a little bit too much for Portland to overcome?
I'm not ready to go there yet. I mean, it could be, but I, you know, the memories of what they did in the San Antonio series are still fresh for me and still impressive and still real. And not only that, you know, I mean, a really good last 2 months of the regular season where they kept doing their thing despite Nurkic being gone. And his cancer has been huge. Now, I never thought, A, that I would be saying that at all. And then B, you know, saying that his health and just his ability to do what he does would be a little bit of an X factor. He's got that shoulder problem that he seems to have tweaked in game one. So we'll see. I'm actually switching gears and heading up to Portland tomorrow to go cover that one. So that'll be a fun place to watch a game. And I'm not about to give up on, I mean, what Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum did in the first round was spectacular. And you're talking about a Nuggets team that is really good at home. Maybe the best home record in the league this year, I believe.
Is the best home record in the league. Yeah, you're right, Sam.
Yeah, and it's like the altitude effect, the emotional effect of coming off a tough first-round series for Portland and, you know, doing what they did, even though they made quick work of your favorite player, Damian.
Not very nice.
Wanted to get away with
fantastic.
That. Bottom line, I'm not giving up on them. I think game two will be big. This is a weird shout-out because it's not – you know me, Damian. I'm the king of shout-outs that don't involve my company that I actually work for.
That's all right. We got you covered.
So CJ McCollum's podcast, the Pull-Up Podcast, I listened to some of it today, and it's so cool that it's like a prominent player in real time and playoff action. Like, still, I mean, you hear how my voice is kind of tired right now. Well, this dude's playing the games, and he's still finding time to pod. And, you know, I listened to it today, and it's like, his analysis on game one and all this like really interesting insight into their mindset. And he gave a bunch of credit to the Nuggets players and, you know, kind of gave his viewpoint, talked about the turnovers being a major problem, talked about transition defense and, seemed to, you know, did a pretty good job convincing me that they know what they have to clean up. And I think it'll be competitive tonight.
I got you covered, Sam. Everyone check out the tampering pod on The Athletic. Don't worry about it.
Thank you, Chuck.
Yeah, no worries. As far as Dame's concerned, has his play been elevated to the point where he obviously is in the conversation of best point guards in the game? Is it just about the fact he's doing it nationally now, or has his play actually been elevated this year to where he deserves it?
I mean, you could argue that he should have gotten some more shine before. It's funny, argues a little strong. I have debated this with his agent, Aaron Goodwin, who has had since the beginning. And I've always enjoyed Aaron's one of those. Some agents are just so shameless that you don't even bother to debate with them because they make arguments that, you know, it's just because the bread is coming their way from that guy. His agent's fairly objective. And it's like the counter that I had given him to the idea that Damian didn't get enough credit the last couple of years is that unfortunately for the Blazers, there was this kind of an invisible cap on their collective ability to accomplish anything where people just didn't believe in what they were doing. And it's like, once you don't have that faith that they could be special or they could be in the conference finals or they could, you know, scare a team like the Warriors,
it almost doesn't matter how great that one player is. Unless, I mean, I joked about Russell Westbrook earlier, but like Russ averaging a triple-double for the first time and doing with that kind of historical hook, that's one of the only unique outlier situations where you're going to get national prominence on a team that nobody expects to go deep into the playoffs. It's pretty tough to do. So all of which is to say that, you know, it almost didn't matter how great Damian was the last couple of years. We were all waiting for him to become the next Anthony Davis or Jimmy Butler and ask out of town. And instead, he stuck around and they look legit and they look special and they look, you know, like a team that grew organically and should probably keep this thing together. So that, I think, has a lot to do with why now you're seeing his play being highlighted more.
Guys named Damian never get enough credit for how great they are. Just throwing that out there.
I would disagree with that.
And CJ and JJ, those four initials right there are going to run basketball media here in the next couple of years. Those guys are great.
Oh, yeah.
Outside the box question, Sammy, before we let you go, because this is a conversation Chuck and I were having yesterday. Obviously, there's three jobs available. I'm going to take the Cleveland Cavaliers out of the equation. The Phoenix Suns and the Los Angeles Lakers. Which job is more appealing than the other one?
Phoenix or L.A.?
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to get paid more in L.A., I would expect. You've got a good young core. You got LeBron. You don't know what the roster is going to look like. Jeez, I don't know. I mean, I'm...
But isn't that telling guys, right there, the fact that you just can't hands down say the Lakers? Isn't that telling about the state of that organization right now?
It is, but it's not even just the organization. It's, I mean, listen, LeBron's amazing. I just don't know if I'd want to coach him.
You know? Right, yeah.
Like, I mean, that's a LeBron thing. That's not a Lakers thing.
But why is Kurt Rambis sitting in on meetings with Rob Pelinka? Like, does he have an office? Does he have like a position?
Yeah, I mean, a senior basketball advisor is his position. He was hired in September of 18, I believe. So that's, I mean, I wrote this a couple days ago. Like, and it doesn't. I mean, Jeannie Buss. My hesitation was that there are major questions about ownership at both organizations.
Right.
And Robert Sarver is one of the worst in the league. And Jeannie is somebody who we sometimes forget is only a few years into having, like, you know, the number one title. And yes, she had a very powerful position for all those years when her dad was still alive, pre-2012, I believe it was. But she ran the business side. And now it's a very different role. So with Kurt Rambis, with Rob Pelinka, with Linda Rambis, you are seeing, like, it's like the by proxy management approach, because Kurt and Linda, well, Kurt represents Phil Jackson, and we all know the ties there go deep. Linda also represents that camp, but is also essentially Jeannie's confidant, advisor, you know, best friend since the late 1970s when Jeannie was 19 years old and Linda was, I think, 26 or 27, working for the Lakers in marketing. And then they ran the World Team Tennis League together. And they've accomplished a lot. And so it's weird not to digress. I get a little, the longer I cover the league, like, we're still pretty sexist with how we talk about female executives in the NBA. So I've been trying to filter the Linda Rambis narrative as much as possible. But I, you know, take the gender aspect out of it. Everybody is fair to question. She has, you know, she has zero official NBA experience. I mean, her bio in the team media guide is a special manager of projects or something like that. There's actually no bio. It's just one line. So it's always a little shady when organizations don't chronicle the people with the most power in their media guide. I always feel like that's the tell on them having something to hide. You know, if you don't have a bio for the person, but you give them a bunch of power, then that's probably not the best way to go. But a lot of this stuff, again, is by proxy. Rob Pelinka represents Kobe Bryant. Yeah. And that's the stuff that makes Jeannie feel comfortable. Yeah. and a lot of people disagree with that approach.
Sam Amick of The Athletic. Sammy, enjoy Portland. I'm a 10.5 and a medium when you hit up that Nike employee store this week.
I'm probably going to skip it.
No.
I know, but, like, I got regret all these years that I've gone to Portland. I've been so obsessed with the Nike store that I've been missing out on the city of Portland itself. Everybody always tells me, hey, great food, great. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I eat at that Chipotle right by the Nike store. I'm in Beaverton. I'm not in Portland.
Sam Amick, world traveler here.
I'll let you know. Yeah,
exactly. Chipotle by the employee store. Sammy, we appreciate you. Thank you, my man.
All right, thanks, guys.
Sam Amick of The Athletic. If you're not a subscriber yet, go become one. Some of the best sports journalism in all of the business.
So that was our interview with Sam Amick. He covered almost everything when it came to this whole Rocket situation. And also mentioned, you know, this is confirming what the Warriors thought, that if they had Andre Iguodala healthy in last year's conference finals, that thing would have been over in five. And in the last five games, when the Rockets had Chris Paul and the Warriors had Andre Iguodala, the last five playoff games that those two were available, Warriors are 4-1 in those. Going to take one more break, come back, go over scores from last night, wrap this thing up for the day. This is Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. But let me tell you something about indoor cameras. Wyze is the indoor camera that does it all. It's packed with premium features that allows you to see everything from anywhere for only $20. 1080p full HD images so clear you're not going to miss a thing. Night vision, two-way audio. Wyze's mission is to bring amazing smart home products accessible to everyone. And with prices like this, they are accessible to everyone. Check on your home anytime with Wyze apps live stream. You can get it from your phone literally anywhere. You also get free rolling 14-day cloud storage, as well as no subscription. So you get the free 2 weeks, no subscription, no tie-in, no nothing. You can use it to watch your kids destroy your house, bird watching. You can keep an eye on laundry. That's what I always forget. When I put a load in, then 4 hours later, it's still in there. You can use the time lapse to watch contractors repave your driveway or whatever work you're getting done at your house. You want more? They got that too. For just $10 more, Wyze Campan gives you 360-degree coverage in under 3 seconds. Life moves fast. Your cameras should, too. It works with Alexa. You get the free 14-day rolling cloud storage coverage, and it works with your cell phone from literally anywhere. Go get Wyze Camera. Go to wyze.com/locked to get the guaranteed lowest price. That's wyze.com/locked. What up, everybody? Welcome back into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. About to wrap this thing up for the day, but the first thing I want to do before we go is give you the score from the other Western Conference series, the Nuggets and Trailblazers in Game 2. The Trailblazers come up with the big win, 97-90. They got their butts kicked, did the Trailblazers, on the offensive rebounds. Nuggets had 23 of them while the Trailblazers had 7, but the Nuggets shot 34% for the game, and the Blazers weren't that much better, but still good enough to get the win. Blazers shot 42% from the field, 31% from three, while, like I said, Nuggets were 34% from the field, 20% from three. So that canceled out the offensive rebounding. And the other thing is, no one really had a great game on the Blazers either. Dame and CJ were pretty pedestrian. Enes Kanter didn't put up the numbers that he has been. So for them to, you know, steal a win when they don't play well, that's solid. And it's one of the best things that can happen for the Warriors too, especially them being up 2-0, is that this series goes long. This series goes 7. Warriors pull it out in 4 or 5. Still a lot to go in the Warriors series. Still a lot to go in this Blazers-Nuggets series, but that would be best case scenario. So we'll have to wait and see what happens, but through 2 games, it's looking pretty good for the Dubs. Thank you guys so much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with another episode of Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
You can't climb a mountain if it's smooth, right? You got to go over the rough spots. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.